man who can't pronounce irresistible, Kitty.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Bert Law, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start blowing the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is National Baby Week. Tonight we haven't a baby to start the program, but we do have a man who is in his second childhood, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Kenny, I heard your opening remarks, a little garbled, I might add. What is, you should know the DeMarcos by now after 30 weeks, old boy. What is this National Baby Week all about?
Well, I don't know, Fred. Maybe the Stork has hired a press agent.
The Stork is a press agent now, huh? Well, that's the trouble today, Kenny. You know, there are too many weeks. National Donut Week, Peanut Week, Strudel Week, Don't Throw Stones at Your Mother Week. Let's all write a fan letter to Bela Lugosi Week. Everything is a week today.
Well, don't you remember the day you were born?
Well, only vaguely, Kenny. There was an awful lot of excitement in the house that day. The first thing I remember, the doctor was slapping me.
What did you do?
I slapped him back, Kenny. That doctor was a coward, slapping a little baby when its back was turned. You know, most doctors are like masters of ceremony. When a baby is born, they say, let's give this kid a great big hand. And they proceed to do it. You know, Kenny...
Mr. Allen!
Just in time, Kenny. Just in time. A little baby routine was dying here. Just in time. Pull up... Pull up an open safety pin and sit down, Portland. This, it seems, is National Baby Week.
It must be terrible to be a baby.
Terrible? Why?
I read with the national debt, every baby born today owes $4,000.
When a baby is born today, you have to send for a doctor and two co-signers. Say, I missed Gabriel Graham's swing this week. What's new, Portland?
Mama and I saw the plastic show.
Yes, I guess the termite is doomed. They're making everything out of plastics now.
They have plastic houses. They're transparent.
Transparent houses, huh?
From the street, anybody can look in your kitchen and see what's cooking.
Oh, fine.
They have plastic orchestra instruments, too.
Well, I hope Mr. Goodman gets his bass player a plastic bull fiddle.
Why?
So I can look through and see if that guy has any pants on. Half of the time he's standing behind that thing in his underwear. Tell me, what else is new, Portland?
Doctors have discovered a new surgical sponge that dissolves in the body.
You mean if a doctor leaves a sponge in you after an operation?
The sponge disappears.
Well, that's remarkable.
Mama had an operation once.
And?
The doctor left a rubber glove in Mama.
Does the rubber glove bother your mother?
Sometimes. Mama says her stomach feels as though it's shaking hands.
Oh, that's... I read, if I ever see a doctor with one rubber glove, I'll tell him where the other one is. I read that the police are after butchers who are hiding meat these days.
Oh, they have a new system.
Well, how do they locate the hidden meat?
The police let loose a buzzard.
Yeah?
The police buzzard flies over a building.
Yeah?
If the buzzard smacks his beak...
Uh-huh.
There's meat inside.
If the buzzard smacks his beak, eh? Well, that does it, Portland. Buzzards and babies are dying. And throw the baby jokes to the buzzard. We'll be rid of the first two pages. And speaking of smacks, how about dropping in on those wet smacks down in Allen's Alley?
What is your question?
Well, this week, the Senate Post Office Committee approved a long overdue raise in pay for most postal employees. And so our question tonight is, what is your reaction to the new wage increase for our postal workers?
Shall we go?
As one hyphen said to the other hyphen, let's get together and make a dash. Oh, it sure is swell to get back down to Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, the senator must be leaving town. Look, his carpet bag is packed, and it's on the front porch. I'll knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Ah, Senator Claghorn, you look in the pink.
I'm feeling peachy, son. Georgia peachy, that is.
Leaving town?
And I'm going to my college class reunion. I'm taking the Dixie Flyer.
What college did you attend?
My alma mater is CCNY.
City College of New York?
CCNY of Charleston, Chattanooga, Natchez, and Yazoo.
Oh.
And I graduated Magnolia Cum Laude.
Yeah.
My fraternity was I, Delta Delta. In my graduating class, I was voted the Southern boy most likely to secede.
Well, fine.
Yeah, I was cheerleader at all our football games.
Cheerleader,
we played our big game in the Molasses Bowl.
The Molasses Bowl?
Son, you should have heard me lead that cheer. Yadda, yadda, black-eyed pea. Where are the boys from the Confederacy? Give her zoom, give her fierce. Hit that line, Mason Dixon, that is.
Now, wait a minute, Senator. What about this pay raise for postal employees?
Son, I'm rooting for them. The South is dependent on them mailmen.
Why?
Why? Who do you think them thousands of boys in them gray uniforms are?
You mean?
It's the Confederate Army biding its time. Go on!
Well, if there's another war, the Senator's going to have plenty of carriers, all right. Now let's sound out Mr. Moody.
Howdy, Bob.
You look mad tonight, Mr. Moody.
I lost my head today.
You were angry?
No, no. I was having a glass of beer in the yard.
Yeah?
A gust of wind come up.
Uh-huh.
I lost my head.
What is your reaction to this city, this pay raise for postal employees?
Every post office worker should get more pay. But one.
But one?
My postman. He's going too far.
Too far, huh?
Yeah, every time I send away to Sears Roebuck for merchandise...
Yeah?
Before the postman delivers it, he uses it.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I sent away for a mail order suit.
The postman wore the suit before he delivered it to you?
Not only wore it, he was sitting in it.
Sitting? How do you know?
Seat of the pants was all sprung.
I see.
Looked like somebody had been carrying a watermelon in it.
God.
I ordered a double-barrel shotgun.
The postman used that, too?
When he come to the door...
Yeah?
Gun was still smoking, and I smelt duck on his breath.
Had duck on his breath. White duck? God.
I ordered a new bathtub.
When it came?
Bathtub had a ring in it.
Well, tell me, is the postman still using your things before he delivers them?
I hope he is.
What is the last thing you rode away for?
Mail order coffin. So long, love.
Well, looks as though Mr. Moody has the postman dead to rights. Now, let's try this next door.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Humphrey Pushcart.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, how do you feel about postal employees getting higher salaries?
For being Mrs. Tamsin Nussbaum, I could thank only the post office.
Well, how do you mean?
When I'm a young girl, footloose and fancy, I'm incessantly winning through the mail contest.
Contest? What sort of contest did you win?
All kinds. Limericals, also jingles.
Really? You had a winning limerick? What was the limerick? Do you remember?
A man once named Pincus McGee stood standing up straight, 4'3". He read in the news about elevator shoes. Now Pincus is taller than she.
Very good. Awesome good. Tell me, how did your winning jingle go?
Part of it is herring is on the beam. It's delicious with sour cream. Part of it is herring with a matzo ball. You can't eat it, bones and all. The pickle, 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 pickle,
pickle. Excellent. Tell me, how did the post office help you to become Mrs. Nussbaum?
One day in a jewelry contest, I am winning a wedding ring.
And the postman?
He is slipping it on my finger.
Yeah?
Luckily, behind the door, I am having two witnesses, relatives.
Yeah?
And also a justice of the peace.
Yeah?
The next thing I know, the justice is saying, $2, please, and I am Mrs. Pierre Nussbaum.
You mean the postman was Pierre?
It is not Jim Farley, Cookie.
Well, here we are at last at the end of the alley. What can happen at this last shanty?
Stay calm, all. Don't get nervous. Falstaff's here, and at your service.
Ah, Troubadour Openshaw, fresh from Boston. What's new on your rhyming agenda?
Have heard Flatbush and Greenpoint haven't been the same since the Dodgers won that no-hit game?
No.
Hasn't they?
Hasn't, no.
How about this? A sight I'll never live to see. Is Dr. IQ in the balcony?
No.
A cross-eyed jitterbug is Tallulah Mentor. She hisses Sinatra, but Boris Karloff sends her.
Now, wait a minute. Look, tonight we are simply discussing the wages of postal employees.
My poem is called A Tribute.
A Tribute? How does it go?
I would like to pay a tribute to a man who merits praise. He's the heavy-burdened postman who trudges through his day. In snow and rain and nightly gloom, this courier can be found. Naught stays him from completion of his appointed round. He brings us tidings from a friend. Greetings on Christmas Day. And on the first of every month, he brings us bills to pay. So let's give the postman the wages he's worth for serving his country and flag. For years, the postman has been underpaid. Too long, he's been holding the bag.
As the man of letters departs, we turn from the male to the female problem, the five DeMarco sisters, accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his play Slow We Can Get Overtime Philharmonic. The DeMarco sing Ashby de la Zeus. And now a typical talk about a timely topic.
When the topic is food, we all want details, so this is of special interest. Be smart when you spend your food dollars, ladies. Get the most for your money. Get Bluebonnet margarine, for it gives you flavor, nutrition, economy, all three. Yes, not just one, not just two, but all three. You get flavor, delicious flavor. Fresh, delicate, country sweet. The fussiest eater in your family will tell you, gee, Mom, this tastes swell. Bluebonnet brings you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Bluebonnet saves you real money. Why, it costs so little you can spread it on twice as thick. Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. That fact alone tells you it's pure, fresh, dependable.
Because acute shortages of table spreads limit your grocery supply, he may be out of bluebonnet temporarily. But keep asking. He'll have it. Remember the letters F-M-E for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was All Through the Day, just barely played by Al Goodman and his 25 squares from Columbus Circle. Yes, Portland, can I have something?
Who is our guest tonight?
Well, there's been a little trouble, Portland. I did have Thorndike McKeister.
Who is Thorndike McKeister?
Who is Thorndike McKeister? He's not only Georgie Jessel's grandfather, he is also the only window dresser for all of the delicatessens here in New York City. Thorndike McKeister is the man who adjusts the string at the ends of the salami and liverwurst so they all hang down even in the window.
And he isn't coming?
No, he got an emergency call at the last minute. A knockwurst fell down in some delicatessen on 2nd Avenue, and McKeister had to rush down there with a ball of greasy twine.
Well, can't you get anybody else?
Well, I did try to get Bert Law. The trouble I had with that Law.
What happened?
Well, Bert, as you know, has his own radio program every Wednesday, and he rehearses on Tuesday. So last Tuesday, I started out to see Bert Law. As I walked into the studio, a suave, austere, dignified-looking gentleman turned to me and said,
"Come on, Faggy, I see this."
Bert Law! Bert, you remember me, Bert. Fred Allen?
Fred Allen? To be sure, of course. I never forget a face. With a face like yours, I've been wasting my time trying.
Bert, the way... Bert, the way you barked at me.
Oh, it's nerves, Fred. I'm a bundle for Bellevue.
Really?
Look the way I'm shaking. I feel like I just stepped out of a Mixmaster.
What's wrong, Bert?
What's wrong? My two writers just gave me my program for tomorrow.
Well, can't your writers write?
Them illiterate. They told me they were Harvard men. Look at this spelling. The word ain't, they spelled with small letters. And they make the apostrophe a capital.
I've never seen a capital apostrophe before.
Them guys call themselves writers. They ain't even got an ulcer between them.
Their jokes are bad, hey?
Well, look at this gag. I knew that elephant came from upstate New York when I saw a Saratoga trunk.
That's pretty bad. I see what you mean.
This kind of corner's for the masses. My public is the hoi polloi.
You have a high class program, huh?
High class? I get more Park Avenue fan mail than Mary, Margaret, and McBride. The whole three of them.
The whole
three?
It's my orchestra leader, Fred.
Oh.
What is it, Arturo?
This ballad you're singing, what key do you want it in?
What key did I sing it in last week?
B flat.
We never repeat on this show. This week I'll sing it in C sharp.
Right, let me have the first line just for tempo.
Okay, hit it, Arturo.
High on a windy... That sounds great, Mr. Law. I'll write in a kazoo obbligato.
And this... And this week, let me hear more trombone. Last week, all I could hear was myself. It was frightening.
Say, Bert, you have some voice.
I know, Fred, I know. They're starting to call me the moron's pericomo.
Really?
The four chicks tell me if I say the word, chuck us through.
Well, look, Bert, how would you like to be the guest on my program next Sunday?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to mull it over in my mind a little while. We can discuss it at the track.
At the track?
Yeah. Rehearsal's over, and I'm going out to Jamaica.
Oh.
I got a sure thing in the fifth race.
Yeah?
This snag can't lose if Sidney Greenstreet's the jockey.
Well, what horse is it?
If them guys in the band hear me, they'll run for the phone and the odds will go down. Let's go out in the alley.
All right. first. What's the name of that horse?
Here, hold this racing form till I get my monocle on.
All right. You said the fifth race. Say, this racing form print is small, you know.
Well, I think the name of the horse is Hot Nylon.
Hot Nylon, huh?
All right, buddy, I'll take that racing form.
But, officer...
You know the new city law. Two or more persons reading a racing form in public is a penal offense.
But, officer, this racing form isn't mine.
Listen, copper, my friend is just holding the racing
form.
Yes. Oh, yeah? Well, you can tell it to the judge. Well, look... Okay, Casey, over here with the wagon. Get in, you tin.
Now, wait a minute, officer. All I was doing, I was only...
All right, you two, out of the wagon. Mind the step, it's loose.
Bert, what am I going to do?
Don't blow your top, Fred. I'll get you out of this.
But I'm worried.
Well, what can they do? We was just looking at a racing form.
Well, I know that, but in New York, they're sending horse players to jail just for browsing in groups. I better get a lawyer, Bert.
What has a lawyer got? A mouth and a briefcase. I got a mouth, ain't I?
But Bert...
I'll handle this case. I'm dynamite in a courtroom. Pure DDT.
Quiet, you tout. Follow me. The court's through this door.
The judge is sentencing the prisoners.
Oh, look, Bert. The prisoner's a little boy in short pants. Listen.
Sidney Fenwick, Jr., the court finds you guilty of playing mumbly peg for pennies. 9 months. Take him away. Next case.
Senor Pablo Gomez, charged lurking near a pinball machine.
10 years!
Bert, he got 10 years just for lurking near a pinball machine.
If they caught him tilting, they'd have hung him.
Next case.
Austin Teppel, charged reading a racing form in the presence of another person.
Austin Teppel.
Oh.
You know the penalty for reading a racing form in New York.
No.
The court sentences you to 90 years. Solitary confinement.
No.
Stay away.
90 years for reading a racing form. Bert, there are two of us. We'll get 180 years. I'm getting a lawyer.
Leave everything to me, Fred. You'll be sprung quicker than the hinges on a $2 suitcase.
Next case.
Fred Allen, charged reading a racing form.
Allen, the court sentences you...
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Judge. You can't sentence a person until he's been tried.
Who says so?
The law says so.
Hey, clerk, is that right?
Yes, Judge.
What do you know?
Okay, let's have a trial, just for the laugh. Proceed. Who's the defendant's lawyer?
I'm his lawyer.
But, Bert...
I'll fight this case for the Supreme Court.
Lumpy printing.
I'll fight this...
fight this case in the Supreme Court.
Why don't you take it to a lower court? There's no S in a lower court.
There's an R in court.
And if I don't... Now I'm reading my thumb. And if I don't get justice there, I'll go over Truman's head and take it to Mr. Antony.
Quit your yapping, shyster. How do you plead?
I'm pleading Nicey Prius, now contender, and Knox Vomica. The large economy charge.
Quiet, you. Cases like this that make me wish I'd finished law school.
Your Honor.
Is the prosecution ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. In malicious violation of the anti-gambling ordinance, this defendant, an obnoxious crumb to wit, Ted Allen.
I object.
What now?
His name ain't Ted. It's Fred Allen.
But first... Bert, he called me an obnoxious crumb. Why don't you object to that?
I wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
Proceed, prosecution.
This lowlife Allen was apprehended in the act of reading a racing form. The city demands that he pay the full penalty of the law. Fine. Imprisonment, and that his crime be dramatized on Mr. District Attorney's radio program. Prosecution rests.
Your Honor?
What do you think you're gonna do?
I'm gonna deny the allegation and defy the alligator. Then with a fragrant delect tie, I'm going to make the persecution look silly. Then I'm going to ask for a complete acquittal. Then I'm going over to Lindy's You're a chopped liver sandwich.
Quiet! What's your next move?
I'm calling my client. Fred Allen, take the stand.
Now, look, Bert.
What are they trying to pin on you?
Well, I'm charged with reading a racing form.
Your Honor, I'll subpoena 14 kindergarten teachers and two people who listen to Red Skelton who will prove...
That Allen wasn't reading a racing form?
That Allen can't even read.
I object.
And I object.
What do you object to?
I object to you objecting.
Nice work, Fred. That's telling
them. Quiet, you! The next guy who opens his bazoo in this court is going to get it from the man David.
Your Honor!
Yes, Mr. Prosecutor.
I just remembered I forgot to cross-examine the defendant, Allen.
Proceed.
Your Honor, observe this anthropoid specimen. Note his floating forehead. The small, darting eyes of the criminal.
Bert.
Let him go, Fred. I'm just laying back to pounce.
Note the low brow, the frustrated look of the felon.
Bert,
let him talk. He's walking right into my trap.
Mr. Allen?
Yes?
When the officer arrested you, what were you doing?
I was talking to Mr. Law.
Yeah, about hot nylon.
Hot nylon? I thought so. Millions of women are walking the streets with bare legs. While you, Allen, slink up dark alleys selling hot nylon.
But hot nylon is a horse.
A horse on you, Allen. Did you or did you not have a racing form in your hand?
Yes, Mr. Lahr and I were going to Jamaica for the meet.
Aha! The meet! Not satisfied with selling hot nylon. You were hawking black market meat wrapped in racing form.
Why, this is ridiculous, Your Honor.
Quiet! Quiet, you chiseler!
Your Honor, this criminal Fred Allen, obviously the head of a nationwide black market and nylon hijacking ring, is a threat to our country's economy.
Bert, say something.
Let him rave. I'm giving him enough rope.
If he gets enough rope, he'll hang me with it.
How many people has Allen poisoned selling this condemned beef? And is it beef? Or have we finally trapped the gang that has been stealing zebras and giraffes while the circus has been in town?
Bert.
His whole argument is access in Topeka and immaterial.
Your Honor, I charge Allen with murder, fomenting a national disaster, and attempting to wreck the U.N.
Bert, say something.
Here's where I play my ace in the hole.
It's about time.
Your Honor!
Yes?
Allen pleads guilty and throws himself at the mercy of the court.
Bert, get me a lawyer.
Quiet, you!
What's your verdict, Judge?
Allen, to the bar.
Yes, Your Honor.
Allen, you are charged with selling hot nylon, poisonous black market meat, and attempting to sabotage the U.N. Case dismissed.
Case dismissed.
This is New York City.
Yes, Your Honor.
And in New York City, you are not a criminal unless you are caught reading a racing form.
Yes, Your
Get
Honor.
Get out! Go!
Now, Kenny, with a word for the many.
Over the teacups every day, you'll hear the praise of Tenderleaf tea balls. They're the largest selling tea balls in America because they are better in every way. Yes, it's when the teacups come out, when you're ready for tea, that the personal, practical advantages of these better tea balls show up at their full value. Finer tea, richer flavor, greater convenience, more appeal. Yes, even to the eye on sight. Because they're famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea put up in crisp, white, clean, tasteless filter paper packets. The individual packets are dainty to handle, more gracious to serve. And the tasteless filter paper filters your tea as it's being made. There's nothing but pure enjoyment in your cup. Enjoyment and heartwarming quick comfort. When you need quick comfort, drop one Tenderleaf tea ball in a cup, dip in boiling water, and there's your tea. Comforting, satisfying, delicious. For every good reason, ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand tea ball.
Thank you, Kenny. I want to thank Bert Law for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Miss Tallulah Bankhead. Thank you, and good night. Thank you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.